Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Lord, I
thank
you.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes.
That's what keeps us going.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
It helps the saints to know that we have something in our view. That the world doesn't have in their view.
Right.
That we're looking for the coming of Jesus.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And that alone, in and of itself, should drive all of us to keep serving.
Right.
We know that the Lord is coming back.
Yes.
And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So I'm not going to be before you long. I'm just going to share this thought with you. It's kind of been on my mind for, I don't know, this past week. Dealing with some things I had to deal with at work. The Lord has blessed me to move into a higher position. Working for having a team of 5 or 6 people working under, it's a blessing, but it's a task.
Yes.
It's a task because you have to deal with different personalities,
right,
different folks' minds.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes a lot of patience on your end to be able to put up with it. But I thank the Lord for the strength to do.
Right.
Like I say, if you want to do, Jesus will give you the strength to do. To do. And I thank the Lord for that. And as I was dealing with these group of people, the thought just kept coming to my mind about this concept of an open door.
Right.
An open door.
Right. Yes.
And coming out of Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 7 through 13. Just a little bit louder.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things, that he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth.
Right.
I know thy work.
Right.
Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee.
Right.
Because thou hast kept the word of my peace, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation,
right,
which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Right.
Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church.
And I would focus back on that 7th verse, the 8th verse, says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied
my name.
And as I said, I was thinking about this all this week, so much so that I woke up with this on my mind. It's kind of all in my head about this concept of an open door. And in Revelations chapters 2 and 3 concentrates on Jesus revealing to John his observations of the seven churches. And he reveals both their condition, state, and where they need to make the necessary changes. But as I was reading the seven, going through just reading about what he had said to the seven churches, I just found it quite interesting what he had to say about the church in Philadelphia. And what he said in verse number 8, I find nowhere else did Jesus mention this to any other church.
Right.
It let me know that Philadelphia was in a good position before Jesus.
Right.
And when we're talking about what Jesus revealed, one thing Jesus, in verse number 7, he starts to let the saints know in Philadelphia what, or about his observations, that they are in fact true.
Right.
To understand who it is that is revealing these observations.
Yes.
He said, it is he that is holy.
Right.
Understand, these observations are not coming from man.
Right. Right.
John, the Lord is telling John to tell the saints, this is coming from me.
Right.
He said, it is he that is holy.
Right.
He that is true.
Right.
He that hath the key of David.
Right.
He that openeth and no man shut it.
Yep.
Shut it and no man open.
Right.
But in verse number 8, talks about what the Lord had done for the saints in Philadelphia. He said, I have set before thee an open door.
Right.
Now, when we look at the phrase an open door expresses or it conveys the idea of one being granted access. Expresses or conveys the idea that one has been granted access. And the uniqueness of this access, Jesus said no man controlled it.
Right.
And you know, a lot of times people say they don't feel no joy or no peace. Well, the Lord is saying, this door that I've opened unto you,
right,
no man controls
it.
Right.
Whatever joy and the peace that you get from Jesus,
right,
no man controls
that.
No man is responsible for the peace or for the joy that Jesus gives me.
Right. Right.
There's a song that says, the world didn't give it to me.
Right.
World didn't give me this joy and this peace.
Right.
Said the Lord gave it to me.
Right.
And because of that, the Lord is trying to teach the saints in Philadelphia something. He's telling them, don't let what people say influence you.
Right.
He said, I have set before you an open door.
Right. Right.
This open door represents access.
Right. Right.
The saints had in Philadelphia had been granted access.
Right.
But access to entering into what? It is there to enter into the riches of the Lord's divine presence. That which is to say a continual renewal of his salvation.
Right.
In other words, Jesus is saying salvation is not a one-time act.
Right.
It's not just you getting up off the altar saying, I got it,
right,
and then that's it.
Right.
But Jesus is trying to tell the saints that there should be a continual renewal of his salvation.
Right.
Why? Because he said, I have set before you an open door.
Right.
And the uniqueness is no man can shut it.
Right. Right.
That means as much joy as you want, you can receive.
Right.
As much peace as you want, you can receive.
Right.
But I want to say the importance of having an open door. And really, all of us should be acquiring or desiring to have an open door in your life.
Right. Right.
Because we understand what we have access to.
Right.
And when you understand what you have access to, something in you should desire it. Something in you should long for this open door policy.
Right.
You know, when we were in school, we used to have a dean that used to have an open door policy.
Right.
And he would have a certain amount of hours. And he would say, within this time and this time, Whoever wants to come in,
right,
they can come in and they can discuss whatever they want
right
to talk about,
right,
as long as it was school related.
Right.
But as long he was teaching that his door was open.
Right.
And people took advantage of this,
right,
because they understood the dean, he had the key.
Right.
He represented access
right
into what I was desiring.
Right.
Desiring a better grade.
Right.
Help.
Right.
You realize the open door means Jesus has granted you a means to enter.
Right.
But what am I entering into?
Right.
I'm entering into salvation.
Right.
Salvation implies the idea
right
or the thought concept of you being delivered.
Right.
It is not a means for you to stay bound,
right,
to stay broken.
Right.
That goes against the principle
right
for salvation.
Right.
Salvation supports life.
Yeah, it does.
You don't realize salvation, man tries to confuse this.
Yep.
They try to think salvation is found in a person.
Right.
And then the people go to another person.
Uh-huh.
They try to find salvation in the spouse.
Yeah.
They try to find salvation in
yeah
children.
Yeah.
But I got news for you.
Jesus.
There is no salvation
right
in that.
Right.
The writer has said in Acts 4:12, neither is there yeah salvation
yeah
in any other.
Right.
I don't care who you look to
right
for help.
Right.
Jesus said, I am the way.
Right.
I am the truth and I am the life.
Yep.
He said, I am that open door.
Right.
He said, I've given you access.
Yes.
And the uniqueness of this message was, I know that up here in Philadelphia, I know the journey has been rough.
Jesus.
I know for 26 years of dealing with people, I know that it has been something.
Yes. Right.
But I'm trying to tell you the Lord that I still have placed before you
right
an open door.
Right.
And yep the importance of this comes when we actually realize
Jesus
that we are going to go through some things.
Yes. Yes.
Life is going to bring us trials.
Yes, it is.
You know, I always say whether it's sickness.
Yep.
And I know people have their thoughts and understandings about COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it. I know what the CDC, I know CNN, they get paid for it. They get paid to get the reports about COVID. But you know, I wonder sometimes, do people actually stop and say, well, what does Jesus say about it? What does Jesus say about what he has permitted?
Right.
Because whatever comes into the world, it had to get permission.
Right.
Sickness couldn't even be here unless the Lord said, let it be so. Job's body got sick by permission. His body got sick by permission. Satan had to go and ask. He said, let me attack his body with sickness. Why? Because I think the sickness will get him to curse you to your face. In other words, it'll stop you from serving you, Jesus. And the Lord said, let it be so. You can put all the sickness you want on go, but just don't touch his life. I wonder sometimes about that. Do we actually stop to listen? What does Jesus say about all that? What is his thought towards? At the end of the day, the saints in Philadelphia, yes, they have their trials. But the Lord said, I still gave you an open door. And again, the importance of it comes out of. The importance of it comes when we understand what we're going to have to face.
Yeah.
Like I said, whether it's sickness
yep
or whether it's the loss of a loved one.
Right. Yeah.
See, I can talk about that from experience.
Right. Right.
Right. I lost both a brother and a mother.
Right.
Right. Right. And people don't know what those things feel like until you actually got to go through it.
Yeah.
And you go through it and you feel the gravity
right
and the weight of the trial.
Right.
You really understand, I need an open door.
Right.
When those moments come, you're going to need a lane to go down.
Right.
You're going to need a path that you can go to
right
and find the access that you need.
Right.
You're going to need a means to enter to get some divine help.
Yeah.
Not help with the world calls.
Right.
One thing I do want to say, and I tell Sean this all the time, what the world calls help is
yep
not actually
not
help.
Right.
Don't think that's help. Going to the psychiatrist is not help.
No,
all they do is write down notes. They were in a blessed state.
Thank you,
the bishop said one of his messages, he said, I believe they were in the minority.
Right.
They were a few little people.
Yes, they were.
But how much of a blessing it was to know the few little old saints had an open door.
Yep.
That no matter the trial they faced, the persecution they faced, they still had a means to enter and get this regulated.
Yes.
See, the biggest fight is with
self. Yep.
It's not with another person.
No.
You don't have a problem with me.
Right.
When you have a problem with the saints, like Jesus told Saul, you are persecuting thou me.
Right.
See, you don't have a problem with me.
Right.
You got a problem with Jesus.
Right.
Because the saints, the church follow behind
Jesus.
Jesus. That's what he tried to bring back up to give over to Brother Saul. When he was on his road to Damascus.
Yeah.
And he said he had received letters to bind up them saints.
Yep.
Paul said hand and foot.
Right.
He said he had his army of men with him.
Yes, he did.
He said, but old King Agrippa,
when
he came to give his defense, he said about midday, he said, I saw a brightness that was above the brightness of the sun. He said, and I fell to the ground. He said, and I heard a voice crawl out to me.
Yes.
He said, goes before you.
Hallelujah.
Understand what's placed in your hand. He said an open door. When trials get rough, when the pressure get hard, and I know that the scripture says there's no temptation taking us, but as such, as it's common to man, we deal with the same thing the world has to deal with. Our bodies get broke down. I was telling Sister Singleton that before she passed, just getting all caught up into this body, worrying about her grandchildren, worrying about me. But you gotta understand something. None of us are here to stay.
No.
I may go before you.
Right.
If the Lord desires that to be, He's going to call. And I got the answer. I have that embedded in my brain. I am clear about that. I am clear that I am not here to stay. I'm clear that I'm only going to see you all for a short period of time. And then the Lord going to call. Joseph, I got the answer. So it behooves me. It encourages me to make sure I get my business straight. So whatever the Lord reveals, I need to learn to deal with it. I need to learn to deal with them emotions. I need to learn to deal with them feelings. I need to ask Jesus, let His salvation bring all of us up under subjection. Because I got to live for it. Enoch had already told me that if I want to see the translation, that my life got to please Jesus. So it behooves me to make my life pleasing to the Lord. It doesn't matter about a person. If what matters is you pleasing Jesus. I know the Lord owns, He calls the shots.
Yes, He does.
He controls it all.
Yes, He does.
One thing He said, the key of David represented control.
Yeah.
Represented that authority that men and women have been looking for years.
Yeah.
Looking for someone to bring these things up under control.
Right.
And everywhere they turn, they like that woman with the issue of blood, they reach exhaustion. That's what happened with the woman with the issue of blood. Everywhere she went, trying to get her issue dealt with, everyone that was outside of Jesus, she reached exhaustion. That's what the scripture says. She was exhausted. That's how you know the world will do you. It will leave you he wobbled at the fact of what Jesus revealed about the saints in Philadelphia. That they, even though they were small in number, they were a great crowd. Because they had an access to the God of all creation. And the uniqueness of all of it was man had no control over it. He had no control over this salvation. No control over the joy and the peace. He had no control over the soundness of man. The Lord tend to say, all of it is in my hands. And as long as you serve me, I will keep you. That's why Jesus Christ will keep you if you want to be kept. And he'll save you if you want to be saved. Lord says, you got the one. I can preach this from sun up to sundown. Elder Scott, Elder Rashad can preach it from sun up to sundown. But sundown in you got the love for Jesus. You got to want something new. Holiness is not about denomination. Holiness is a whole new way of life. Holiness is for people who are tired of the old. They're tired of that old man. Only that old man, Paul said, gave you was corruption. Only thing it dealt brought you was sin. And James said, when sin is finished with you, it brings forth death. I'm so glad I got tired of the old man. I said, Lord, I want something new. Lord said, you're looking for holiness. But holiness is a way, a new way of life and living. Lord, help me to yield myself to your instruction. You realize that's what the disciples had. And when Jesus got ready to ascend up into heaven, it was in Dr. Luke's writing that he wrote. He said something caught his attention. In Jesus' last message, before he left, he said, I want you to go into the city of Jerusalem. He said, I want you to tarry. He said, tarry until he be endued with power from on high. He said in Acts 1 and 5, he said, John did baptize you with water. He said, but it ain't enough. He said, you got to be baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. Scripture said that the disciples had a mind to yield to that instruction. They may not have understood it all, but they learned to obey. Scripture said they came on down out of that mountain. They took a Sabbath day journey. Got back into the city of Jerusalem. Went up into that upper room. And they started working on that word. What word? The word Jesus gave them. He said it stayed in their mind. It motivated them. It pushed persistence. It pushed consistency. They said, I got to remember what Jesus said. It said they held on to it for 10 days.
Yes,
they did. They were obedient to that message.
Yes, they were.
It said on the day of Pentecost, it said there was a rushing mighty sound. It said the Lord found them obedient to his word.
Yes,
I told the things back at home. I said many times people trying to get Jesus apart from his word. But you can't get Jesus apart from his word. When you get Jesus, you're going to obey his word. Because Jesus is the word. And in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God.
The
word was God. Said the same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 14 said, and that word, he came flesh. Not only that, the word dwelt among us. He said, we beheld the word's glory. As the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. So you don't get Jesus apart from his word. That is the devil moving on you. And you trying to say you got Jesus, being disobedient to his word, that's not Jesus. That is the devil. He is the great deceiver.
You're
not going to tell me the Lord say, be holy.
Right.
And you're going to say you are clean.
Right.
But you say you following Jesus.
Right.
No, you are not.
Right.
When you love Jesus, you're going to love his word.
Right.
You're going to find yourself in submission
to his word.
See, that's the biggest issue. People don't want to come up under submission. They don't want to humble themselves. But see, that's that old man.
Yes, it is.
That old man is strong in the mind. It don't grew muscles all up in the mind.
That's right.
It built like Mr. Clean. Either that soul is in Jesus or is out of Jesus. It's either you are spiritually alive or you are spiritually dead. There are no gray areas. There are no in between. It's either you are in Jesus or you're not. This is saying either you're saved or lost. Either you're in Jesus or you're out of Jesus.
That's right.
You got to keep it just like that.
Yeah.
Keep it black and white. Don't put no gray. You can keep the grayness together. That gray area, that be the work of the Savior. Try to say, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Either you're in Jesus or you're not. No in between. The Lord didn't save us for us to be in between. He saved us to come completely over. The being said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We used to say, if you're still doing the same things before you got saved, since you said you're saved, then what kind of salvation you got? See, the word saved implies the idea of deliverance. You're doing the same thing. Where is the salvation?
Where is the salvation?
The reality of it is there is no salvation.
Right.
Jesus said, you're yet in your sin.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord, Jesus told the people, he said, be sure your sin will find you out.
Yes,
I was telling Sean that a lot of times sin, what people don't see coming behind sin is death.
Yeah.
See, that's the part Satan blocks.
Yeah.
He tries to hide that part.
Yep. Yep.
And the sin he pushes.
Yep.
Now, you know the idea of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh,
proud
of it. He pushes that strongly. Why? Because he knows something you don't see. You don't see death coming. And death is not talking about the dying of the body. No, I'm talking about you don't see your soul being in torment as the rich man's soul. See, the rich man didn't see death coming. All he saw was his purple and his fine linen. All he saw was the Michael Kors. All he saw was the Michael Jordan shoes. But what he didn't see coming was death. Scripture says, but he gave up the ghost. And he said he saw Abraham and Lazarus over in his bosom. He said, Abraham, he said, my soul is being tormented in this place. He said, I got five brothers. He said, please, go send someone to tell him. Matter of fact, he said, go send Lazarus to tell him about this place. Abraham said, no. He said, they got Moses and the prophets. He said, let them hear this. He said, even if you was arise from the dead, they still wouldn't be persuaded that death is coming for
them. Look at Jesus.
That's the thing. We don't want to, what we don't see is death coming for the soul. That's the one thing Satan tries to block is the death part. He said, but the Lord's saying, I step before you. An open door. No man can shut. He said, but thou hast a little strength. But the blessed part as to why they have the door open. Jesus said there were two things that he thought were worthy of mention. There were many things the saints in Philadelphia had done to please him. But these two was worthy of mention. Jesus said, one, they had kept my word. They had kept it. The word kept means to retain in one's possession. In other words, they didn't put the word aside. You know how when times get hard, people immediately forget the word. You should have seen what people did when COVID first hit. Immediately. They lost everything they thought they had in their mind. Immediately. Went into panic mode.
Said,
what shall we ever do? Lord said, I'm going to tell you why the door opened. Said, these group of people, they kept my word. Said, even through all of the trials, no matter what, they had to keep on believing. Sometimes, saints, you got to stretch out on the word. I mean, stretch out on the word. It's not meant to be comfortable. See, well, one thing about it, when you're stepping out on faith, it is not a comfortable thing.
No, it's not.
It's not meant to be comfortable. But the Lord still encourages us to stretch out on that word. Jesus said, you got the word in you, now stretch out on it. Even when your children ain't acting right, you still got to find it in you to stretch out on that word. Sometimes you got to turn that plate down and say, Lord, I believe. But this help now my unbelief. That's the beautiful part about that man that cried with his son. His son had all kind of conditions. He said when he was able to go in prayer about his shortcomings. So Lord, I believe, but I'm asking to help my unbelief. In other words, there's a part of me that's still struggling to get the message. But I want it, Jesus. And again, you got to want it for yourself.
Yes, that's true.
You got to want this.
Jesus.
And the scripture said the Lord blessed him. He told him, brother, this cometh but by prayer and fast. He said, you things you got to stretch on that word. Then one thing about Philadelphia that I love with the saints here, they're small in number, but they believe in Jesus. That's all, to me, that's all that matters. Believe in Jesus so that no matter who comes, who goes, when one pastor goes on to be with the Lord, the church can still keep moving. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. I was telling Sean, with the passing of my mom, I said, let this be an example to you. To you. That when something happened to her, you see, I had to keep moving. Did it feel comfortable? No. It was a rough road to go. But the Lord said, you got to keep moving. Because at the end of the day, I've got a destination. One song that Mary Mary has said, I got a destination in my view. Said, the road may be rough getting there. He said, but I got to press through. Said, with tears draining out of my eyes, I had no strength. I literally could not make it. I had no strength. But I knew I had the access. That if I stayed before Jesus Christ, I knew that salvation would reach me. I'm telling that's my tribe.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the Lord is saying this time is going to come for you. And when that moment comes, what will you do? Will you abandon the faith and take after your old ways? Or will you hang in there with Jesus and say, Lord, to whom shall I go? I'm talking about to Jesus. I left everything. I don't have anything left. All I have is you. I say, I just got to stay in, take it. If I got to cry at your feet, I just got to stay in, cry. Because I understand, like Peter said, you got the word that can give my soul eternal life. That's what Peter said. Peter had that understanding. I said, Lord, help me to develop that. I realized, yes, many things are going to happen in our life. But I understand if I obey the word, these words will give me eternal life. If I can just learn to obey, learn to just stay in submission to that instruction, I will look up and be in the presence of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Thou hast kept my word and has not denied my name. This was something that was remarkable to Jesus. That through all of the trials, they held on to his name. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. We talk all the time. She shared thought, I shared thought. And we go back and forth. Next thing you know, 30 minutes, an hour are gone. And we like, man, we are behind. Talking about Jesus, you can easily lose track of time. One thing we said was that the only way we know that we can reach salvation is through the name. And he said we have to do it until the mind. Because sometimes one or two times your mind still may not get the message. It may have to be something that is repeated over and over and over again. And you got to keep chipping. I said, keep chipping the iceberg. Just keep chipping at it. Because eventually that iceberg is going to crack. And your mind is going to really get the message as to where salvation is. People talk about salvation. They don't know where it is. They don't know how to get a hold of salvation. Salvation is in the name.
Yep.
And you said, boy, if I can just get that, keep that in my mind. Well, work at it. Don't just say, I wish I could get it. No, work at it. Start somewhere. Write it down.
Yep.
You used to do it when you were seeking.
Yep.
You were writing name down all in the book.
Yep.
If you couldn't stand in class, you would write it.
Yep.
Why? Because you're trying to help your mind understand.
Yep.
Nope, life is in Jesus.
Right.
Your mind may say, nope, life is in your heart. No, life is in Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Yes.
Your mind may say, man, I'm tired of doing it. Oh, well, Jesus.
Because
I'm trying to help you understand.
Right.
You got to help your psyche understand where life is.
Right.
Life is in Jesus.
Right.
And so I say, you got to do your part.
Right.
You got to work at it.
Right.
See, I know when this service is over, we're going to go back out to in the air.
Right.
And in the air, all them spirits, all of them wicked stuff. It be roaming.
Yes,
those spirits be roaming all through the earth.
Yes,
they be looking for a host to get in.
Yes,
and you're going to need an access.
Yes,
you're going to need something to go down and get your help.
Right.
Right.
Paul said those spirits be roaming.
Yes,
he said, and you're going to need the armor.
Yes.
You're going to need a spiritual armor.
Right.
He said, our warfare is not carnal.
Not carnal.
It's not flesh.
Yes.
It is all spiritual.
Yes.
It is a spiritual warfare. You understand what tiredness is?
Mm.
That ain't nothing but a spirit. Sleepiness, it's a spirit.
Yes.
All of that stuff ain't nothing but spirit.
Yes.
You're going to need the name to block it.
Yes.
He said, because eventually, Paul said, ask the name.
Yes.
He said, every name.
Everything's on
that. Yep. Just keep calling. He said, I know it may sound like a broken record. Well, just take the broken record and listen to it.
Yep.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Right.
All when you're walking down the street.
Yeah.
So even when you're having a good day, that's good.
Good day.
But call them anyhow.
Yeah. Call them Jesus.
Right. Jesus, Jesus. Because some coming down the pipe for you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a real heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And when those time comes, you're going to need Jesus.
Right.
You're going to need him, and this is saying a special name.
Yes.
As I said, when I had no energy left in me, that was going to tell you,
mm-hmm.
I had nothing, I couldn't see it happening,
mm-hmm.
But I had to find the strength to get on my knees and to ask the Lord for help.
Yeah.
I knew that I had the access.
Right.
I said, if I could just stay here long enough.
Yeah.
Just stay. See, people don't understand until you deal with this stuff.
Yourself. Yeah, yeah. You have to deal with yourself.
When the real trial comes, then you appreciate salvation.
Because
you realize the load is heavy.
Yes, it is.
But Jesus said he is a heavy load sharer.
Yes.
Said he is a heart fixer.
Yeah.
We were talking about that one day with the sister on Thursday. About Jesus come to deal with the conditions of the heart.
Right.
Said that he said, upon this testimony, he said, I'm going to build my church. What testimony? Jesus is the Christ.
Right.
He said, the way he's going to build that, he got to build it in the heart.
Yeah.
He said, because even in his days of preaching,
yep.
He said, the disciples said, why are the people not hearing you, Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, he said, because the heart done wax gross.
Yeah.
He said, the heart done got hard.
Yeah.
He said, and because that heart got hard, he said, the hearing done got dull.
Yeah.
He said, the sight done got bad.
Yeah.
That's how you know the heart controls it all.
Yeah.
He said, when the heart is bad, you can rest assured everything else ain't going to function right.
Right.
And Jesus said, my word got to go in that heart.
Yeah.
He said, I got to take out that stony heart.
Yeah.
He said, Lord said, my spirit going to work on giving you a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to put my message in the heart.
Yes.
That's why I love the song Mother Johnson sing, it's in my heart.
Right.
What's in my heart? This melody
Jesus.
Of love divine. That's why I say, no matter what goes on, Jesus got to be on the inside.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
David said that word, Jesus is the word.
Right.
David said that word got to be hid in the heart
right.
that you might not sin
right.
against
right.
Jesus.
Right.
So we pray you got something out of the message on this morning to remembering. I know the 26 years anniversary time. But it's good to remember to see how you made it.
Yeah.
You say you made it because that you have that open door. And that has not been afforded to everyone. Everyone don't have that open door. See, all of those things come up under privileges. Those are privileges of belonging to Jesus. You have access. And even if you don't have access, something in you should acquire. Something in you should long to say, Lord, I want to have that access. I want to have a means to enter.
Jesus.
Into your presence.
Jesus.
So that I may experience some of that divine treasure.
Jesus.
Of your salvation.
Jesus.
Salvation is a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful when you see how the Lord can keep you. Despite so many things. The Lord is keeping you right now. Even when your children may be doing whatever. Jesus is still keeping you. How do you know? Because you're in here. You in here and you got a mind to clap your hands. You got a mind to sing. You can't do that on your own. You see the reports of people who are doing it on their own. And they're not in here. They're in mental institutions. The news reporters tell us. They say today, on News Channel 6, someone went and put a gun to their head. Why? Because their children died. Couldn't take it. They took their own life. I always tell Sean, reports tell you of people who are trying to do it without Jesus.
Right.
And the only thing I keep hearing on the news is death.
Yeah.
That's all I hear in the land.
Yeah.
Death, destruction, misery.
Yeah.
Paul said it's all in their way.
Yeah.
So the Lord came. Said he came, I came to give you access. Said, how did the thief come before to steal, to kill, and to destroy? Lord said, but I have come for another purpose, that you might have life. He said, not just have it, but have it more abundantly. So we pray and trust you got something out of the message this morning in Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the message.
Thank you, Lord.